Welcome back, friends. So now we can think a little bit about different types of gardening, gardens. I know I gave a definition not too long ago. In a scripture verse, perhaps to guide us, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So we think about the type of garden suitable to our locale. Harsh conditions might be, when we were in San Diego, it wasn't harsh in terms of temperature, but it was in terms of rainfall. And we had, actually can't have this kind of cactus today because somebody was able to harvest them from the desert. And of course, that's a no-no now. But it was a very beautiful cactus garden. And then, of course, in other places, you might have lush conditions. And I've seen plumerias planted in the front yard as big as trees. You know, my little plumerias are like this. In years in Ohio, the same, because that's the way that goes. And you might decide what kind of watering system you need, raised beds or in the ground, gardening, indoors or outdoors, food or beauty, a bit of both. And winter is the time to really think about all of those things. Similarly, we need to take the soul needs to really take stock of the conditions of the life. Do you have and these are real things. Do you have a good bishop or a bad one? Are you under a supposed freedom or tyranny? Right? Are you married or single, a man or a woman? And how much time do you really have to devote to the spiritual life? Jesus clearly said, before embarking on a task, one should sit down and really look at the cost. This is from the ESV, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him and say, this man began to build and was not able to finish.
Yeah, so, I mean, there is an element of self-recollection here. You know, what am I capable of? What are my defects? What are my assets? And in the same way that you would clinically sort of assess, you know, your property, where is the sun coming from, how much rain do you get, you know, during this season, this growing season, the same way that you're going to take that sort of clinical, methodical approach to a garden, at some point there has to be some level of clinical self-examination. Now, where you see your life sort of as something outside of yourself, where you can look at yourself, examine yourself, and find out, you know, am I a rocky plain? Am I the path that our Lord strews with seeds, and it all pops up quickly, and then it goes fallow. But you really have to have that assessment, because there can never be. And sometimes, in the same way that, you know, in a garden that you may and most likely will have to consult some type of a master gardener with a question that is going to help you advance your garden to the next level, right? The same thing would be true in the examination of the self. At some point, you have to turn to somebody else who may have a greater wisdom about you than you have. And that's why the church has always recommended across the path of the spiritual life that at some point you engage with a spiritual director, because there has to be an ascent at some point that you don't possess enough knowledge on your own to move beyond where you are. And as in, you know, in growing in a garden or anything like that, if you plant, every gardener knows that if you plant the same products over and over and over in the ground every year and with no variation, with no change, you will eventually rid it of all of its nutrients and it will cease to bring forth life. And the same thing is very true about yourself. If you're the only one who's always examining, eventually you'll withdraw all the goodness that is there. And, you know, you're going to need that extra insight, either from a good friend, from a priest, confessor, or from a spiritual director who really can help you to draw more forth from the garden than you might be able to do on your own.
That's exactly right. And that very much leads us straight into virtues, the liturgy, and the Christian way. So part three, you have thought about these things. You've come up with what type of garden, where you want it to be. Is it going to be a patio pod? Is it going to be in bed? And then you start your spiritual journey. And taken up with the concept of a master gardener is a spiritual director, someone who has some authority in to you, to your mind, of excelling in this spiritual walk, because it does become very mesmerizing when we just examine our own self without some sort of an objective outside view in. Of course, reading in particular at this, it's always been helpful to read from the apostolic and patristic period, but I think during these times, even in a more pointed way, because it gives a real firm foundation of planning of what has stood the test of time.
Right.
We're talking about ideas, concepts, practices, hopes, desires, dreams that have withstood 2,000 years, 1,700 years under the most varied of circumstances.
Right.
And that is a treasure trove not to be missed.
I think, if I may add to that, I just think that one thing that is interesting about that is that when you look back at the past, or you put yourself underneath the tutelage of the master, right, as it were, like so, for in this instance, the patristic fathers, I think one of the things that is immediately diminished is your own arrogance of your own ability to conceive some problem. Right. Like you think, oh, I've discovered this problem that no one has ever conceived before. And yet the reality is, I mean, our Lord will tell us this, that there is nothing new under the sun. Right. All of these things that we are so certain have never been solved before or have never been conceived of before. Or, you know, we think no one's ever had a problem like ours. Well, yes, they have. And the goodness about the people like the patristic fathers is their immediate proximity to the Lord, right? So words have not been able to be twisted. Ideas have not been able to be mutated, as it were. And the further that we get away from that, you know, the more likely we are to lose than to gain. So that is why tradition, right, is such a fundamental pillar within the Catholic Church, because without it, you risk getting lost. It's an anchor for us. And within the gardens, you know, I mean, there's only so many ways to plant a tomato. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, there's not any great idea. There's not really any the type of fertilizer that you need. I mean, tomatoes are going to respond to a certain temperature, to a certain amount of watering, to a certain amount of necessary sunlight. And as long as you keep yourself anchored to those things, the chances are very great that you're going to bring forth a crop of tomatoes. But if you want to try and grow your tomatoes in a backyard with no sunshine, you know, like, I mean, you can try. But you can't be upset when you have set out on a path that people have already told you is one that is going to lead to a fallowness.
That's right. All right, my friends, we're going to pick up with the sacraments in the journey of our spiritual journey. Till the next time, Fides et Ratio.